Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Dirt and Sprague.
They scored on their first. Rust in the bumper. It's Carlson. Shot. Zach Lindgren.
Andy Dirk Johnson, Brandon Sprague.
Blocked. Pick is blocked. And Denver's going to get the ball.
Dirk and Sprague on the Fan Sports Network.
All right, 6:02 in the Rose City. Time for Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader. 105.1 The Fan. And, of course, the Fan Sports Network.
Hey, we got Brown P.S.
Get out the shotgun. Because I'm going to throw some ducks tonight.
Red 85. Sat hot.
Let's go now. Let's have a game today, baby. Let's go. Let's go, fellas. Have a game today. Let's go now.
Blue 85.
I like my boys happy. I like my boys happy.
Here we come. Here we come. It's a man's game now.
Here we go.
Happy Football Friday, everybody. Hello.
Hey, what is happening?
How you doing?
Doing pretty good. I survived that ugly game last night. I felt like it was the football gods warning me, you think this is bad? Wait till it's snowing in the second half at Kinnick. You're like watching all these punts. This is what your weekend's going to be. You better buckle up right now.
Be funny if you had to do a bet. Will there be more points scored at Kinnick this
God, please
this
let
weekend.
There be more points scored. Please, for the love of God, give me more than 17 points. That's the worst football game I've ever watched, man.
It's one of the bad ones.
I ended up watching like 85% of it. I don't know why. I couldn't turn it off.
Nothing else on.
It was like a train wreck.
There was only one NBA game last night.
Yeah,
well, yeah,
it
was one NBA
Clipper
game.
Clippers Suns.
NBA TV. It was the only one that we had, man. There was no option. This is all we got. Give me something more entertaining than this.
We are kind of a sick country, aren't we?
We got a problem. We got an issue.
We do have an issue.
I'm willing to acknowledge it and look in the mirror and say, you know, it's a problem, but I was hitting the pipe last night. The pipe was football.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That you were saying you were also hitting
no,
the pipe.
No, I don't actually have a drug problem, no. My drug problem is football. Football okay. is my drug, and right, I have a drug problem.
The way you kind of said that, though, was like, oh.
I was the
he's that guy.
The wow. Sesame Street character with the spoon. It was Broncos and Raiders.
Yeah.
It was in my spoon.
Yeah.
I had a lighter and a straw, and I don't even know how that works, but that was me last night.
That's why I think I was proud of myself last year. Remember, I canceled my Netflix.
Yes, you did.
And so I had basically vowed to not watch the Christmas games. Also, I was protesting that they had gone to Christmas and taken over my sports holiday.
Yes, they've trampled on your day.
And then I saw the Ravens score, and it was like 31-2.
Those games were terrible.
And I remember thinking, like, I am so glad I didn't waste a second of my life.
No.
Paying attention to that game.
And we didn't have a show. It wasn't like it was a game you were going to react to on the air.
No. Even if we had a show the next day, we would have been like, well, that sucked. All right, coming up next.
Yeah. And if it was a good game, you go back and check the highlights, you'll be all right. You're not going to miss too much.
But I think we found out like there were millions upon millions of viewers for that. And I'm like, what is wrong with us as a society?
I don't know how to explain it, man. I don't know how to explain it. Even for a day where I feel like most of the NBA games ended up being relatively entertaining, if I'm not mistaken.
It was a good little
Christmas
slate.
It was a good,
slate,
like,
yeah.
Not, you know, every game was overtime, but it wasn't 31-2. It wasn't over at halftime. And I want to say every single game on Christmas was a blowout. I think there were only two, and they both sucked. It was like Chiefs and Steelers, and they killed them. And then I think the Ravens and Texans were the two games. Maybe there was a third, I can't remember. But both games were absolutely terrible, and they got like 25 million viewers on Netflix.
So it's just got to be style of play that leads people to say, I don't care that the game sucks, and it's not close, and it's not good. I'm not watching that other sport.
Yeah, probably. It's probably.
Okay.
The only reason I stuck around for two reasons last night. Well, three, I guess. One, I have a drug problem. Two, I they're down to four people in the survivor pool.
Out of context, you just dropping I have a drug problem is really
Let's keep the bit going. Okay. You know? Okay. There was only four people left in the survivor pool, and one of the teams had the Broncos last night.
Oh, my.
And so that was an uncomfortable sweat for four quarters.
That's somebody that watched 100% of that game.
You're not feeling great. And then also just the idea of, are the Broncos really going to lose at home to the Raiders? Like, are they going to lose this game? They might. Are they? Oh, okay, no, they're not. But damn, they damn near lost to the Raiders at home.
I just, that defense is largely why they're 8-2.
Yes.
And I just don't know what to think of it. I if I'm a Bronco fan, I am more confused today than maybe I was yesterday of...
You're thrilled your team's 8-2. You're 8-2 and you're in first place. And
yeah.
No matter what happens this weekend in the AFC West, you will still be in first place.
Yeah.
But... That's why I said earlier in the week.
Is that going to win anything?
No, offensively, no, it's not. And the Raiders don't have a very good defense. That's not like this is one thing to struggle against Houston a week ago.
The Raiders are not a good team.
No, Houston a week ago, you could say, well, we went against the best defense in the league. Last night, you would probably say, and to be fair to them, I think some of it was circumstantial. Like the weather was horrible. The wind was swirling. They had a really hard time throwing the ball down the field.
Mm-hmm.
And they got, what, two of their first four drives, they were pinned inside their own 2-yard line to start the drive. It was like, all right, this is going to be hard to score. They just didn't get a first down till almost near the end of the second quarter. So some of it was circumstantial last night, but no, there's nothing about that offense that would scare me right now if I had to play them in the playoffs.
I almost wonder how defenses are going to game plan because they did end up getting that touchdown to tie. And then, I think that's like their 10th straight game trailing by a touchdown.
They have not, I think they've only scored one touchdown in the first quarter. Was that the stat floating around last night? All year?
It, yeah.
Like they can't score early in games.
The one thing that kills teams when they play this Denver offense is like, it sounds weird to say, they almost overrush.
Yeah.
So they go in deep, the middle's wide open, guess who's going to step up, and he's either going to run for 12 yards because for some reason teams just don't have a quarterback spy for this dude.
Yeah, did you forget that he can run and he's a good athlete?
Or he runs up to the line of scrimmage and he finds a receiver that's open 15 yards down the field.
Yes, there's your extended play.
Like, I almost wonder, are you just better off to just leave him in the pocket, not allow him to get the edges, and not allow the middle to just be wide open?
Yeah, we're just going to kind of fold you in here and you can't escape.
I don't know, man. That is a weird Denver team.
Yep.
Obviously, the defense is elite.
Everybody knows
it.
It'll give them a chance in every game that they play.
But that offense just flirts with either being horrific or they have a fourth quarter where they score the most points in NFL history every other week.
I don't know how to make it.
It's hard to put into words.
It does not compute in my head when I watch them, especially in the first half to second half. Like, it just is so straight. Patrick texted me last night. He was like, was Bo this way at Oregon? I'm like, no. I mean, they might have started slow once or twice, but it wasn't like they had a track record when he was in Eugene of they're not going to score any points in the first quarter, and then he's going to wake up and get going. That's not what we thought about him when he was a Duck quarterback.
I just say you can generalize it if you want. I have no answer for what to make of Bo Nix as a starting quarterback in the NFL. He has moments where I'm like, damn, dude, that looks great. And then he has a lot of other moments where I'm like, yeesh.
Yeah, there's a lot of young quarterback moments. For sure with him. They had 220 total yards of offense last night.
He's interesting because I think the thing with him and Penix that's different from all the other ones, not that either these guys have either reached their ceilings or they're not going to get better, I don't know. The difference with him and Penix and going into the draft, this was a thing, he's not young.
No.
So like, yeah, year two pro quarterback, there's a lot of learning still happening for him despite his age.
He's 25 years old.
Right. So like, That's the difference, right? Like, Drake May is Drake May, 22, 21?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, he was pretty quick out of college.
Right out of college, the minute
younger side on the birthday, too. He's 20, just turned 23 in August.
So it's not to suggest he's not going to improve and get better or they can't turn it around as an offense. I don't know what to make of it. And you could just generalize and say, it's good, and then move on with your life and be fine with that. And you can also say, context, he has moments where he's really good,
right,
and he has moments where he has a season-worst off-target throw percentage against the Raiders' defense, which is atrocious.
They just got lit up a couple weeks ago by the Jags lit him up last week. Mahomes lit him up the week before that. They've not been playing good defense at all, and you couldn't do squat. He had an arm punt at one point in that game. He just lobbed one up into double coverage. Like, it was only second down. He didn't really need to do that, give up a big return. That was ugly last night.
Yeah, his other bad night and bad season, the old coaches.
Yeah.
Pete Carroll, Bill Belichick, really going through it this year.
Smacking on the gums, not working anymore.
No, the clapping and smacking a gum and putting receiver gloves on, not working for you much.
Wearing your Air Monarchs to go out and run a couple of routes pregame.
Is Chip Kelly good, or is that team just so banged to hell that it's impossible for anybody to have a good offense.
I don't know what to make of Chip Kelly because he's a guy who has had so many ups and downs, and the opinion has swayed of him. And I don't know how much credit he even got for the Ohio State win last year. I think more people looked at that and said, that was the best roster in all of college football, and you had the best wide receiver room in all of college football. Look, Jeremiah Smith's going to be a top three pick in the draft. Look at what Egbuka's doing right now in the league. Like, look how much talent you had. Judkins has been really good. You were loaded with NFL talent.
Yes, they were.
It was almost more of like, why weren't you better all year? It was almost more of a criticism of him that they weren't better at times and that Michigan could bog them down or they could even lose a game.
So
and
you were unimpressed with his offense
last year? I was for the majority of the year. And then when they needed it, they were great and they were dominant in the playoffs.
Is Chip Kelly cooked?
I wouldn't want him as my offense coordinator right now.
Their lineman situation's horrific.
It's not great, and I don't think Geno Smith's great. So it's not fair to put it all on him, but when that hire was made, it was just unique of, all right, that was 1 year at Ohio State. Things weren't perfect, but they did end up winning a national championship. So you give him credit there, and he just parlayed that into an NFL job. I wouldn't put him in the upper echelon of offensive coordinators that I would want to hire right now.
Like if Will Stein left in Lanning and he got fired by the Raiders,
Chip Kelly was the call.
And brought Chip's like, I actually loved being at Oregon. I'm totally cool not being in the face of a program, and I just want to coach offense.
The nostalgia play would be cool. I don't know how I would feel about it from an X's and O's standpoint.
You just told me you thought he's cooked, and now you're like, well, I don't know, man.
The nostalgia play is there. It's like Damian Lillard re-signing with the Blazers. He's not the player that he used to be. Can he be on a certain night? Yeah. But it ain't Dame of 2019. I know that. This ain't 2011 Chip walking through that door.
So are you happy? Or are you optimistic about Chip? Or are you like, you're secretly like, damn, dude, I wish we would have got somebody else.
I would probably secretly think I wish we could get somebody else. Is there not an up-and-comer that we could? Because I also know he's not going to recruit. He doesn't give a rat's ass about that.
Well,
so no time will be spent on the recruiting trail.
In this world, this is never going to happen.
Sure.
He's never coming back to Oregon as an OC for Dan Lanning.
It will not happen.
Because I think Dan Lanning would pride himself on doing what you just said, finding the up-and-coming OC.
Yeah, a la Will Stein.
That also wants to recruit and be a madman.
Yeah.
But I do think more Duck fans would be with you on this. I just... He had a lot of moments last year at Ohio State where I'm like, how did that team score 10 points?
Doesn't make any sense. They're too good. They're too talented.
Too good. It's not Will Howard's problem.
No.
Like, this is a...
Throw the ball to Jeremiah Smith every play. How about that? Ready, break. Okay, sounds good. Here's a fade, number four. All right, let's do that again.
Do what that kid that asked James Franklin, do you ever just throw it deep to hope to get something? And he laughed at the kid.
He did.
And I kind of defended the question because I'm like, it does work sometimes.
You have no vertical passing game. At some point, you got to take a shot to see if a guy can make a play.
So, like you're saying, as you as an OC at Ohio State,
throw
half
it.
Your plays.
Throw it to him. Throw it to four. Throw it to four. Throw it to four. Or here's a crossing route to Egbuka. How about that? Let's call that play and then go back to throwing a fade and then a handoff to Judkins. You should not be this bad. It doesn't make any sense.
First poll question of the morning. Is Chip Kelly cooked?
Ooh,
yes,
I like
or
that.
No at Dirt and Sprague.
The Raiders are definitely cooked. Geno Smith's not a good quarterback anymore. Their offensive line isn't very good, and their season is over. It has been for a while, but
they went for it on 4th and 5 early, and Raheem Mostert just has no idea.
Missed an edge guy.
I mean, Hufanga just came in, not even touched.
Yeah.
And Geno's like, what are you doing?
Little help here, man. Little help picking up that guy would have maybe given me an extra second to throw that ball.
It's really my only kind of defense of Geno. I don't think he's been good. But I think I've watched enough Raider football to say half the time I feel like he has a guy barreling down on him. Or he's having to move around because he has no pocket.
Yeah, there's definitely that reality.
And so he's
him.
Like, ah, crap, I'm going to throw it. He's not making good decisions in that department.
No, he's not. Everything about the Raiders has gone sideways this year. What quarterback are they going to take in the top 10? Come on down. You know that's what they're going to do.
You know, Kiper still has Dante Moore as his first quarterback.
It's interesting.
If Dante finds out he's the first quarterback going into the process, he has to leave, doesn't he?
You would imagine if people are telling you you are a lock to be a top 5 pick, you got to go.
What if they tell you you're the number 1 prospect of your position going into combine stuff?
Then I think you got to go.
You got to go?
I think you got to go. That's too much money that you're passing up. But I don't feel that way about him right now, although he could change a lot of minds and perceptions with what he does tomorrow on the road.
But how you feel is what he's doing at the quarterback at Oregon is not how
irrelevant.
Scouts are viewing that, right? It's like project, tools, all that stuff.
He's got the size, the arm strength, the talent. He's a decent athlete. Like, I get why people like him. And he's had great moments this year. I think it also part of it is a byproduct of the rest of the quarterback class in all of college football, which just has not been very good. There hasn't been a runaway freight train where you're like, oh, that guy's definitely number one. Mateer's had moments, and then he got hurt, and it's, eh, what? Sellers has been underwhelming. It's not all his fault. To the Geno point, the rest of his team isn't very good. So it has been a very underwhelming year. Arch Manning hasn't popped the way that we thought he was going to for all the quarterbacks in college football.
Jets, Saints, Raiders. Yeah. Of those three teams, and you're a quarterback prospect, which one do you want to go to the most?
I'd go Saints first, Raiders second, Jets by far and away dead last.
Really?
Yeah. Kellen Moore, at least young offensive line coach.
No, I get
why
you said like, Saints. I get it. You got Olave there. Olave, I get it.
There's decent weapons.
Kamara might be back again. Yeah. So, okay.
There's something there. And then I'd go Raiders, too, for Pete. He's a guy that I don't think is going to lead me astray. He's been around the block, knows what he's doing as a head coach.
Does he?
He's only going to be there for 2 years. Culture. I thought we're building culture in Vegas, okay?
I did, too.
I want to go play for that culture. He's going to smack his gum and wear his Air Monarchs. And I would boycott the NFL if the Jets drafted me. I'm going to go play in Canada.
Who did that? Was it Jim Kelly?
Yeah, I'm not going there.
Who chose, Swag, who was that in the NFL that went and played for Canada? Didn't Jim Kelly do that? Am I mistaken on that?
No, Jim Kelly played in the USFL.
Some guys that played in the USFL.
The Houston Gamblers, I believe.
That's right.
Before coming over to Buffalo.
So that's what you're doing? You're choosing to do that?
I'll play in the American Alliance Arena, whatever, football league.
Yeah.
That one.
The American Alliance.
Arena Football League.
Football League.
I'm going to play for that one.
I want to put that but as a poll question. Would you rather play for the NFL with the Jets or the American
play
Alliance
for the San Antonio
football
Alamos. Is that a football team? Do they exist? Can I play for them?
I don't think that's the name, but I get your point.
I'll play for them.
Well, we got a football Friday. We have a lot to get to. We'll get to the college game. Dan Lanning, pro Sprague again. He struck again yesterday.
Ooh, did he? Still pro Sprague?
Anti-dirt.
Ooh.
At some point, I think you just need to admit you're wrong.
Well, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know what he's pro, so I'm not admitting anything this early in the show.
I
played the fifth.
Okay.
You're not getting anything out of me.
I'll tell you what I'm talking about in the 7 o'clock hour.
Okay, I like that.
So we'll get to some Oregon-Iowa preview. We'll get some Oregon State stuff today. Are the Beavs going to have another win? They got Sam Houston State. Dirt's going to break down Sam Houston.
I'll give you the fundamental breakdown.
Great. I can't name a single player on that team.
Swag's got all his Beaver gear on today. He's ready to go. He's feeling it. Back-to-back Pac-2 champs.
Something weird's going on with him.
I think he's overworked and underslept.
Yeah, that's absolutely accurate.
What Jason Swigart's problem is right now.
But we got a loaded show with Sprague the Line as well. Let's get it going. Dirt and Sprague, 105.1 The Fan, a football Friday.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, second poll question is up at Dirt and Sprague. Would you rather be the starting quarterback for the New York Jets or the Arena League San Antonio team?
San Antonio, here I come. Remember the Alamo, baby. I'm going to go hang out with Wemby. Seems like a cool dude. Go to a couple of Spurs games.
Wemby's getting a new arena.
Do the Riverwalk. Yeah, we're getting a new arena down there. Business is booming. Hell yeah.
I'm not saying it's the right move. I think economist has basically said it's not the right move, but
Is this the fourth arena for the Spurs?
I don't know. They started
out at Hemisphere Arena back in the day.
And that would make it four.
I think they played in the Alamo Dome.
They definitely
for a while.
Did. That's the Sean Elliott shot was in the Alamo Dome.
And then their current arena, whatever it's called, and they're going to build a new one.
Yeah, I was going to say I do love how just that whole general area of America's like, nah, do it. We need a new stadium. Here's all my tax money.
Build another one. That was in the news, speaking of the Broncos last night, because they had some old shots of that stadium, and now Michaels had like a Monday night highlight of a Raiders-Broncos game and him and John Madden years ago. And they just had a major hurdle cleared to build their new mixed-use, land-use, you know, dome stadium in Denver yesterday. They're building a whole new one for the Broncos.
Wait, they're doing what?
They're building a whole new dome stadium.
Wait, what kind of stadium?
A dome stadium.
Wait, I was told I was soft.
You are.
I mean, you are soft.
Yeah. Cleveland building? What kind of stadium is Cleveland building?
What kind is Buffalo building? That's where men play football.
How many Super Bowls they have?
That's outdoors.
A lot of them.
Oh, okay.
Soon.
Super Bowl multi-winner
loading.
Denver Broncos. Loading soon. Does that piss Bronco fan off? No more snow games.
I think there'll be a faction of fans that believe that.
Let me double check. I'm pretty sure it's a dome stadium.
Man, you better be telling me the truth. If it's a dome in Denver, I'm going to kind of laugh. I know my take doesn't age well with football fans, but if Denver and Cleveland are both like, yeah, we're going to dome this up, my take's right. And I'm sorry that Buffalo's not doming it up, but they are windproofing
retractable
it.
Roof.
Yeah, so retractable
beautiful days. Roof.
Yeah. Open that thing, snow and freezing, we're closing that thing.
I mean, it's all about, for these teams, it's all about other events. That's the whole reason you do it.
I know.
They want to host
concerts.
A Final Four, they want to host a Super Bowl, and you have no ability to do that if you have an outdoor stadium and a cold weather, unless you're New York. New York's the only one that's been able to get away with that.
Well, and we hated that.
And everybody hated it.
It was a bad game because the Seahawks, you know, made them piss down their leg at the snap. But
Santa Clara's this way, too, because the weather isn't, it's not like you're playing in Miami in February when you play the Super Bowl in Santa Clara, and they're getting it again this year. But that's why you want a Final Four, you want that kind of stuff to come to your stadium.
Yeah, it can be windy and rainy for the Super Bowl this year.
Very well could
be.
If I remember correctly, when the Panthers and Broncos played, I don't think the weather was great. It wasn't like terrible, but it was like cold and chilly, if I remember correctly.
It gets windy in that thing. I was there in August, and it was like 90 degrees, but when that wind blows and the sun's not beaming on you.
Now it's February.
Like, dude, I kind of need a long sleeve shirt. It's 90 degrees outside right now.
Feeling in the first week of February in Santa Clara, probably not great.
Well, Andrew, there's a lot of fun NFL games this weekend.
There are.
I don't know where people would go of their favorite or biggest game, not including their own team. I think my team's involved in one of the games of interest.
For sure they are.
With Rams, Niners, you have Eagles, Packers will be on Monday. So we'll talk about that one then. You got Vikings, Ravens. That's my sneaky second best game of the weekend.
Is nine going to get him again? Another dub for nine.
Is he going to come up clutch? You know he's a winner.
That's all he does. He's going to throw for 113 yards and win. All he knows how to do is win.
What are you going to do on Sunday when the Vikings beat the Ravens and he throws for $122?
I'm going to lose my mind.
One touchdown, one pick.
And I got to watch the post-game videos of him in the locker room acting like he carried them single-handedly to a win because his alter ego 9 went off and he brushed his teeth left-handed to unlock the other side of his
what
brain.
What are you going
to
do?
I'm going to lose my mind is what I'm going to do.
You're going to be cursing him. Why do you have a clutch gene?
It's so stupid. I mean, that game is really fun. I think just because of the Baltimore angle. Minnesota winning technically kept them alive last week in the NFC playoff picture. I still don't know where they're going. I don't think J.J. McCarthy is very good, and maybe time will tell me that take was really bad. I think the interesting angle is Baltimore of can they really keep this going? Like, is Baltimore legitimately back? They've had 3 weeks in a row where defensively they've been really good. Last week on Thursday night, you get Lamar back. He throws for 4 touchdowns, and it wasn't perfect, but it was a blowout, easy, comfortable win over a bad team. Now you're taking on a team that's better defensively, so I'm excited to see how they face that challenge. I mean, they're 2 wins away from being back to .500. And when we talked about Baltimore, mainly the angle of them getting back in was twofold. One, you're getting Lamar back. And two, look how easy that schedule is. So if you beat Minnesota this week, you're 4-5. And then the next week you go on the road to Cleveland, and then you get the Jets at home. Like, it's a pretty easy schedule the next couple of weeks. This might be the toughest game of the bunch. So if they win it, I tend to believe they're going to rattle off a number of wins in a row. So I'm really excited about that game. I'll save Packers and Eagles for Monday night because that is a fascinating game, and the line's coming down a little bit right now. The other one that I'll throw at you that I can't wait to see, and I know one of the teams is banged up, but their quarterback doesn't seemingly care that his team is banged up, and he's still finding ways to win and being an MVP race. Pat's on the road at Bucks is the other game for me this week that I can't wait to watch.
I would like to point something out to you.
Yeah.
Because I went on the Minnesota Viking Reddit page yesterday. I've become quite addicted to Reddit. I love going on these team pages and reading the comments.
See what everybody's yelling at each other about.
There's a photo of J.J. McCarthy, a stock Viking photo, and it says, "Say his name, doubters." You know what's funny to observe and realize? I didn't realize this until today or yesterday when I looked at it. Against the Bears, J.J. McCarthy threw for 143 yards, two passing touchdowns, a rushing touchdown, and a pick. Against the Lions, 143 passing yards, two touchdowns, one rushing touchdown, and a pick.
It's two wins this year. He hasn't gone over 150 passing yards.
It's the formula for success.
Literally the exact same stat line is what I was just highlighting. I don't care. Like, look, you can think however you think. Guess who's a winner? Bo Nix. He threw for 100-something, two picks, and a touchdown, and they won.
Yeah, so I've seen Bo Nix have a 300-yard game and a four-touchdown game, though.
Sure, but that's not how that sport works.
No.
That sport works, whereas if you have some semblance of one play and your team wins, you get labeled a winner. It's not really always fair.
It's really stupid is what it is.
Well,
but
he's 2-1 as a starter with two road divisional wins.
Yeah, let's see how long that holds up.
They beat the Ravens this weekend.
Opinion's not going to change.
I want the Ravens to win because of my preseason prediction. I am kind of secretly going to laugh. I'm going to laugh out loud if the Vikings win this game.
Yeah, might break me, man.
If Oregon loses Saturday and J.J. McCarthy and the Vikings win.
I mean, the pain of that won't be anywhere as close to it, but yeah, it would be
a cherry on top
would not be fun.
It'd be the combination of crap Sunday, yeah, for sure.
He's not a very good quarterback, and that's okay. He's young. He's not supposed to be. He's benefiting from a really good system. He's benefiting from maybe the best wide receiver in the NFL. He's benefiting from an elite defense, and that's how Minnesota's going to win games. If they beat Baltimore, it will be ugly again. He'll make a couple plays if he has to. They're going to hold him down defensively, and they'll win the game 21-17, it'll be ugly.
I want to get to a couple of those games that you mentioned there. We kind of glossed over it because J.J. McCarthy, he's making people, eat crow right now.
No, he's not.
He will this weekend.
No, he won't.
You might be right. Ravens are on a... Ravens, by the way, win that game. Look at the AFC picture.
Yeah, that's... I mean, the Ravens are the contending team in that game. The Vikings are not.
Really?
Yeah, without a doubt.
Of the two, you picked the Ravens to make the playoffs?
Without a doubt.
God, I love the
They have a shot to win the AFC North. The Vikings are not winning their division. They're
the
behind
Ravens...
two different teams in their division. And I know they beat Detroit last week.
They're last.
They're last in their division.
They're 4-4 and last in the division.
Well, right now they got the tiebreaker over Detroit and Chicago.
Yeah, no. Well, I mean, nobody's scared by Chicago either. Chicago's not a contender either.
But. Do you know the Ravens are minus money to win the division today?
Yes, as they should be. Their schedule is cake. They got Lamar back. And if they win this weekend and the Steelers somehow lose to the Chargers on Sunday night, despite their 7th and 8th tackles playing and a new guy that I've never heard of from the Saints. If they lose that game, then Baltimore will unquestionably win the AFC North.
More NFL conversation, including this. Will the big trades pay off? Will we see the big trades pay off? We'll get to that coming up next. Impressive or not impressive, a guy you're not very fond of, which is kind of becoming the running theme of this show, who dirt hates.
Ooh.
Almost everybody.
A lot of people, man.
Joe Davis didn't pee one time during the 18-inning game.
I got Joe Davis takes, but I know we're trying to talk NFL, but I won't.
No, I'm the one that brought it up.
I mean, is it not a major conflict of interest that he's hosting the World Series parade after calling Game 7 of the World Series?
Did you find him on the broadcast to be biased?
I did, yeah.
You did?
Not overly. It wasn't like, but I did sense a tone. Somebody put together, a Blue Jays fan put together a mashup video.
Of course they would.
Of him calling Dodger home runs and him calling Blue Jay home runs. And you could hear a difference in his voice. Mm. It's human nature. How do you not? He's around the team for 162 games a year. He's the voice of the team. He's hosting the World Series parade. He knows all of the guys. Of course there's a bias.
I mean, I knew he's the Dodger guy. I guess I just, as a fan watching those games.
That's really weird to have the guy host the World Series parade 3 days after calling Game 7. And he's getting the crowd all riled up. That's just a weird conflict of interest to me.
Yeah, but Vince Scully did national games for years while calling Dodger games.
Sure, did he host the 1989 or 88 World Series parade?
So what would your solution be?
Not having him be the voice of Fox Baseball? I think the crew sucks.
Who would you have be the voice?
I'd bring Joe Buck back. Find somebody else.
Burkhardt,
find somebody else.
Somebody that's totally independent?
It doesn't have to be totally independent. I just think he's in a unique spot because his team's the most dominant force in the game right now, and they've won back-to-back world championships. If he's the voice of the... Like, nobody feels this way about Brian Anderson because the Brewers aren't a threat. And
but
nobody
if the Brewers
thinks,
in the World Series and Brian Anderson's the car,
people would say it's
problem?
A conflict of interest. Yeah, it's just a unique thing that baseball has to face.
I don't know if I'd go as far as say conflict of interest. No. He's not openly on the broadcast like, oh, the Dodgers are finally, they're winning this game. No. Like, I don't know about the home run thing. I'm not going to speak to that. I guess as a sports fan, I didn't really notice it. I think Joe Davis is good. I see your point, but I don't know if it really, like, when I had to watch Oregon State App State on the ESPN Plus app, that was obviously the home broadcast for Appalachian State. It wasn't an impartial ESPN broadcast.
No, it was the App State guys.
It was the App State guys.
And I didn't realize that was the way that they did it, because I turned it on, I'm like, oh my God, these guys are App State honks.
Yeah.
And then in the halftime interview of like the App State volleyball coach, it dawned on me of like,
broadcast, because that's how most of like the pilot stuff, the West Coast Conference puts their stuff on ESPN Plus.
Sure.
And it's up to the home school to produce the broadcast.
It's unique, but also, so if we're being real, it's the cheapest way to do it if you're going to outsource.
Oh, I get it for
like
ESPN
that.
Plus. We're talking the World Series with 30 million people watching and Fox as the hiring company. It's not just Joe Davis. I have a beef with the entire booth. I think that booth sucks.
Mm.
Smoltz is not good, and they don't do it for me the way.
Is there a color commentator combo that you enjoy in baseball?
I like Adam Wainwright whenever he pops up.
Okay.
You know, I think
he does the three-man thing with Pierzynski, doesn't
he? Him and Pierzynski. Yeah.
And Adam, is
Adam
it
Amin, I believe. Yeah. I would take that crew just individually right there over what Davis and Smoltz are doing.
Pretty impressive, though. 18 innings, that's a long game to not pee.
That is. And you're drinking a lot of water calling the game, too.
Well, he has to, because he makes his voice drastically different than it
Welcome
really is.
Welcome back in.
I think Swag would be really thrown off meeting him in person and being like, what?
Hey, I'm Joe Davis. Where did that come from?
Hey, Joe Davis here.
Unless he just walks around with that voice all the time.
Freeman, it's in high!
Nice to meet you!
Swag would just match that energy.
I think you would.
I'm Jason!
They'd have a play-by-play off.
That's right.
I'd pay to see that conversation go back and forth. Hire Swag and do the World Series games. He'd be less biased. He didn't even watch his team play. He'd be less biased than Joe Davis.
I'd be more critical of the Dodgers.
You absolutely
than
would
else.
Be. What, they're bringing this guy in the eighth inning?
Smoltz, why are they going to the bullpen now?
Doc Roberts, damn it. We'll be back on Fox. That's the way you would watch Game 7, though. Pat's Bucks flying right under that radar of, like, it is a good game, and Drake May is having an MVP-like season, 2,200 passing yards, 17 touchdowns, 4 picks. The Pats are 7-2. Going to Tampa Bay, who is massively banged up this year, they have suffered injury after injury.
Godwin and Bucky are both questionable to play. Yeah. I think, you know, not
Bucky's
likely, but
2 weeks, but now he had the bye, so it's, I think they're going on 3.
Changes the dynamic of the game a little bit if they get some of those guys back, but we got to wait and see.
Well, it's one of Joe Fortenbaugh's favorite picks of the weekend is Bucks -2.5 at home. The Patriots were a little weird last weekend against the Falcons.
Yeah, I mean, that was they won the game because the Falcons missed a PAT.
Would this game say more for the Patriots if they won this or the Bucks if they won this?
That's a good question. Both of them have nice quality wins, right? Like, New England went on the road and won in Buffalo. Was that a Sunday night game when they won that, I want to say? So it's like, it's not like they're untested. I think because of the fact that New England is the new kid on the block in the AFC playoff picture, that it would mean more for them. Like, Tampa, we can feel how we feel about, are they a legitimate Super Bowl contender or not?
Mm.
But they're going to run away with the division. They've won the division, what, 4 years in a row? Are we going on 5 years? Whatever it is, they're going to win it again, probably.
Four going on five.
Going on five. Even if they lose this weekend, is anybody picking somebody else to win the NFC South, right? Are we buying the Carolina Panthers? Is Atlanta going to turn it around?
The Panthers are interesting. The Panthers this weekend are at home. They're a much better home.
I mean, they're going to kill the Saints. They should kill the Saints at least. So I'm just saying, in the long run, I'm still not going to pick the Panthers to win the division, even if Tampa loses.
Carolina handles their business, they're one game behind.
They are. Are you going to pick them to win the division, though?
I'd have to look at the rest of the schedule. When is Tampa Bay going to be fully healthy? That's my question.
I mean, you would think at some point.
I don't know how much longer they can continue to piecemeal it together.
Well, some of the guys are just, like, Evans is not coming back.
No, he's out.
No, but
they also haven't played the Panthers yet. They get the Panthers twice in the last 3 weeks.
Their line's a little banged up and has been, I think, for most of the season.
And they've been able to maintain it
throughout. They need Bucky Irving back. They need Chris Godwin back, especially if they get to the playoffs if they expect to do any sort of damage.
Godwin hasn't really done much at all this year, even when he was playing. So
they haven't needed him necessarily
because Ibuka healthy
because of how good he's been.
Massively important.
But I just think because New England is the new kid on the block, them winning on the road in Tampa as a dog again, the second big road win, I think it opens a lot of eyes of like, wow, how far could this thing possibly go?
If New England wins at Tampa, this is what I find interesting. Watching Denver last night, like, we can question the offense all we want. That defense is going to keep them in legitimately every game they play the rest of the season, playoffs and regular season.
Without a doubt.
And then if the offense can be consistent, well, then look out.
Yeah.
But I don't know how to weigh outside of the traditional old cliche Kansas City thing, it is interesting to look at a lot of these teams in the AFC and say to yourself, how do you stack them up? New England going to win at Tampa in a line where they're an underdog and it's kind of a trendy pick with some of these sharp bettors.
Yes, it is.
You're certainly right of like, do you have to reconsider the idea?
If they keep doing this, there's a...
Of what the ceiling of what New England is. Like, does New England, Denver, and Indy, do they all three have the same ceiling to you, or do you separate those teams?
Right now, they all have the same ceiling to me.
Okay.
They're very good teams. They're playoff teams. But when push comes to shove, would I pick them to win a playoff game over fill in the blank? And right now, the answer to me would be no.
The Denver defense makes me want to consider that.
Totally get it. They're awesome defensively. Nobody doubts that. I have issues. If they string together a couple of consistent offensive performances, maybe my mind will change. And I think that's the argument I'm trying to make on New England. Like, that's where I'm at right now. If they go on the road, they lose by 10 to Tampa, I'm not batting an eye. They're still a playoff team. They're still, firmly in the wild card race.
Sure.
This is their first year doing this. That's back in the mix of the NFL. I'm not going to kill them for it. They're an underdog this weekend. I think it's the idea of if they keep pulling off wins like this, my mindset might change on them. I'm not quite there yet. I think they're a very good team. I think they're up and coming. They got a great head coach. They seemingly have found their franchise quarterback. That's a lot different than saying, all right, now you got to go on the road to fill in the blank. Or even if you're hosting, it's Josh Allen and the Bills coming to town. And I know you beat them in the regular season. This is a different animal now. Can you beat them in the playoffs?
We didn't get to the thing I teased there of who in the trade deadline is going to maybe have the biggest impact for their new team this weekend. We'll talk a little bit about that. We'll dive into Oregon and Iowa coming up at the top of the hour. Landing likes something that Sprague likes, but something that Dirt doesn't like.
Mm.
We'll get to that in the second hour as well. We'll talk a little Oregon State. I thought what Josh Pate said yesterday about the Oregon State thing, fascinating. We'll talk about that. They might win this weekend. So we'll get to college football coming up in the second hour. More NFL trade deadline reactions this weekend. How we're feeling next on The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
You can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Stream the local game every Sunday, all season long, just $30 for the first year. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started. How much are you guys planning for Thanksgiving? Could be a conversation we have. It's interesting that, it's November 7th.
A couple of weeks away, man.
Rapidly approaching, right?
Yes.
Around the corner. Tomorrow is our show anniversary.
It is. Happy anniversary.
Yeah, happy anniversary.
That's when we started. We all thought it was going to end one night in.
We did.
Sorry, Sprague.
You and Danforth did.
Sorry, Sprague. Yeah, it's over.
We're going to get fired.
So just like the show started, Dirt will be on the air and Sprague will be somewhere else.
Hey, there you go. Yeah, I'll be here tomorrow. Well, I won't be here, but you'll hear me on the air tomorrow.
Will you be tomorrow?
I'm going to be at Grand Central Bowl.
What time?
8 a.m.
Oh.
Come get a breakfast burrito.
Oh.
I can't wait. I'm going to order a breakfast burrito and a Bloody Mary the second I walk in that door.
Is it being comped or are you getting expensive?
Oh,
or
Tubbs is there. Tubbs is there. Tubbs has got the cards.
Tubbs got the cards.
What do you need? I got you, all right? He's hooking it up.
Tubbs was number one in our company for quadrant three meeting percentage or
look
something.
Look at Tubbs,
TPS
dude.
Reports.
Look at he's filing those TPS reports, man. He's killing it right now.
You know what that is?
That's good shit right there.
That's it. Sikorsky.
I always thought if I was a manager, especially sales, I meant to tell Cooley this off the air a couple days ago. If he's looking for like a fun Christmas idea for his employees, he should get every salesperson that we have and he should make a trading card with like percentages of closing.
Ooh,
and,
that's a good idea.
And so like you
on the back,
you Photoshop their face on a baseball player.
There you go.
Percentage of emails responded to, percentage of phone calls answered.
Even make up the numbers, you know.
Average, this guy was 72% last year, man.
Average revenue per deals closed.
Yes, I like this idea. We're cooking something here.
If you want to be both generous, thoughtful, and motivating, you put where they're at in the lineup too.
Batting order.
Joe Fisher 7.
Oh, come on, Joe.
Whoa.
Come on, Joe.
Whoa.
Hey, unless if he's in the Blue Jays lineup, that's a critical hitter right there. He's going to win the ALCS for you.
He very well could be third. I actually don't know how they would power rank his sales guys, but or sales gals as well, but that would be a fun gift idea I would do if I was a manager of a sales situation.
Yeah, come say what up tomorrow. Come bowl. Eat a breakfast burrito. Say what's up to Tubbs.
We need to get Dirt wired up with the Britney Spears wireless and have you do a segment while you're bowling.
Wall bowling?
Yeah.
Me bowling would be entertaining. I'm not a very good bowler.
Watching a not very good bowler is not entertaining at all.
No, it's like, wouldn't be fun.
Another gutter ball.
You'd laugh like the first 2-3 times and be like, look at this idiot. And then it would just get old. Unless I get on a heater. Maybe it just takes me a couple rolls. I haven't bowled in about 10 years.
Then I would think you don't get on a heater.
You never know.
Horrific incident in Dallas yesterday.
Horrific incident, Just I mean, it's just terrible. Nothing really to add. It was awful.
I think in those situations, you're just like, that guy scored a touchdown against Arizona not very long ago.
Literally Monday night. Yeah.
We forget too often with athletes and entertainers that they're human, and we just don't understand.
Well, I think yesterday in those moments, I instantly go to like how awful it's got to be for the family all day to hear about the developing parts of that story.
Yeah, I mean, the traffic stop and then the running from the police and then ditching your car, the text messages that were sent to his girlfriend. It was horrific to read. The news flashed across the screen when we were on the air in the morning, and it's like, what? Huh?
When you see an athlete and it says dies at a certain age, we're all thinking kind of the same thing.
We all go to a certain spot mentally,
That when Doug Martin, it was announced the muscle hamster died. He was 36, and then out what happened there, and you're like, ugh.
Yeah.
That's kind of ugly, but it's very unfortunate and tragic yesterday what happened in Dallas.
Terrible, man.
Sauce Gardner, Quinnen Williams, Rashid Shaheed. I'm trying to think of one more. I'm thinking the biggest ones. Who am I blanking on?
You're probably blanking on, so I would have to pull up the whole tracker. I'll answer your question, though, because you already listed the name. I'm most excited to see how it looks, and that's Sauce Gardner. That was the biggest swing at the deadline. The Cowboys took a big swing, but I don't think it impacts their team very much. Quinnen Williams is definitely a good player.
Did you name Phillips there with the Eagles?
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, well, Phillips, yeah.
You can throw him in there.
You can hold that for Monday a little bit, too, because he definitely will be a big impact guy. It's all about Sauce Gardner and what he looks like.
It's all about Sauce Gardner?
For me, it is. Yeah. The Colts are a good team. We know that they are. They're coming off a really rough game on the road at Pittsburgh. I'm not going to kill them for it. We hold them to a different standard because they haven't been there before. Does he go out and look like a shutdown corner? Does he look like a number one guy in a standalone game early on Sunday morning over in Berlin?
Sure.
And if he does, is he locking up London on the other side? Is Atlanta having a hard time throwing the ball?
That's the thing with that is I agree. I think I agree with you overall because Seattle's offense is already really good. So Shaheed would just be another like, oh my God, they got another piece.
And it might be like two catches for 48 yards, but they're both big plays.
I won't be shocked if Quinnen Williams makes a play, but like Quinnen Williams is not changing Dallas's defense fundamentally.
No.
And you can certainly say maybe a cornerback is not going to do that for Indy. I do wonder where that will pay off for them because I don't even know if it's this weekend. Atlanta's offense sucks.
It's not been good.
So I think he could have a good game and you can feel good, but I don't know how truly confident or what the impact's
going to be. Well, I think for the Falcons, what you hope it does is you don't have to play as many safeties back in coverage. You can have an extra safety up in the box to deal with Bijan.
You mean for the Colts?
Yeah, for the Colts. Yeah. Bijan's the only guy that can really do some damage against you.
He has moments.
Sauce can take Drake London one-on-one, and I've got safeties that can creep up and not give as much space to Bijan, whether he's handed off or catches a little pass in the flat, then Atlanta's not doing anything offensively.
To your point, too, on the Colts, like they lost last week, and you look at the numbers for Pittsburgh, you're like, damn, they gave up 27 to Aaron Rodgers and the Steelers. They ran the ball for 38 yards, 1.7 yard per carry, and Aaron Rodgers barely had 200 passing yards.
Oh, dude,
the
story of last week
was all about Daniel Jones' turnovers.
It was Daniel Jones' turnovers, which we had five, I think.
Three picks and two fumbles.
Yeah.
And that's why they lost the game.
Yeah, 100%. And the Pittsburgh's defense played really well, too.
They played very well in that game.
So we'll see. The trade deadline, Jeff Howe's going to join us. He's a national NFL writer for The Athletic. He graded the Jets trade. I'd love to ask him how much he really puts stock in trade NFL deadline stuff. It's not the same as baseball and basketball.
No, it does not feel like it.
And sometimes it's the moves you don't talk about whatsoever that ends up paying off. Is there a move that we of note that he buys in, or is it something a little off the radar that he's kind of eyeing? So we'll talk with him at 8:15 for the Daily Ticker. Loaded second hour, Oregon going to Kinnick. Oregon State, a look-ahead spot. Hour number two, Durant Sprague, 105.1 The Fan and the Fan Sports Network.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.